Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
About those Royals, huh?
That's right. First place Royals. Get it straight. Get it straight, Carl.
About those Royals, huh?
6-4 and wanting more after yesterday's 6-1 victory over the Angels. J.J. Piccolo, Vice President, Assistant General Manager, Player Personnel, the Royals joins us. Hello, J.J., how are you?
Doing great, Stephen. How you doing?
Well, I keep being told it's early. I don't care. First place Royals is how I'm doing, so you're doing pretty good too, right?
Yeah. We'll take it any way we can or any time we can.
I don't care what.
Absolutely happy with it.
I don't care what the calendar says. If it's first place Royals, I'm in. So that's all that matters. But boy, that was an interesting series for a number of reasons. And before we get into talking about Kansas City and the Royals and how well things are going right now, I got to ask you, because he's been one of the big stories of baseball. Just like from a scout's perspective and from your perspective, boy, what do you think of Ohtani?
Yeah, he's certainly an interesting player. I mean, you don't have too many guys that can go two ways at the highest level. I mean, you see it in college once in a while, and I think that speaks to how difficult it is. If guys can't do it in college, you know, what's the likelihood that somebody could do it in the major leagues? And the answer is not many. So it's very impressive. You know, it's a shame that the young man's had some injuries along the way and some, you know, questions about whether or not he can stay healthy, but right now, he looks like the player that everybody thought he would be. So it's good for him, and just glad they're out of town now.
That's right.
Hey, and they went out of town with you guys winning the series. JJ, I'm curious, did you, in all your years working in scouting, working in front offices, you ever had a pitcher that you thought to yourself, this guy could hit too? And have you ever even been tempted, or is there at least a guy that maybe could have done it if he'd been given the chance?
Yeah, well, there's certainly plenty of guys that you scout both as a hitter and a pitcher, and there's a sort of a split camp on whether or not his ceilings as a pitcher or a hitter. But I've never had, when I worked in scouting, whether it was somebody that I was watching or one of our own scouts tell me that this guy will do both in the major leagues. We've never had that. You know, there's a young man out of Louisville a few years ago that Tampa took that, you know, I think they're working through that right now. But I've never experienced it. It's usually the debate on whether or not he should pitch or should hit, you know, one of the two. And a lot of those players, quite honestly, you know, go one way and they do pretty well through the minor leagues. It might be an injury. They may just hit the wall. And then they flip to the other position and they get to the big leagues in the other position. So, you know, those evaluations on those players are fairly accurate. They just may come up short for whatever reason on one side, but are talented enough to go back the other way. And, you know, it's, in our opinion, it's always easier to go out as a hitter first so you don't lose that skill acquisition of repeating a swing and your timing. And if it doesn't work out as a hitter, then you go and pitch. But, you know, some teams believe differently. So it's always a good conversation.
We have J.J. Piccolo on the line. J.J., it was good to see Josh Stallmont pitch yesterday and pitch two scoreless innings, because we didn't know what was going on. You know, he went on the IL, and at first we thought it was a 10-day IL, and we're thinking, oh, boy, now Stallmont's hurt. But then he comes back after a day because it's the COVID IL. Well, this is something that, you know, we talk about all the challenges of putting together a roster and dealing with a roster for the whole season. This is something I'm sure that organizations are still having to get used to, fans are having to get used to, and players and everything else. You could have a guy gone and you don't know, you know, with not a whole lot of warning, and then he's right back the next day. Certainly making it very unique with roster moves this year in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, no, it is unique, and I think that's why you see the relaxed rules as far as adding somebody to a 40-man roster, and then they can come off without having to go through waivers. And I think what you have is a commitment by Major League Baseball to do anything possible to get our games in. We don't want to get into service time issues, all those things. Let's just make sure we play the games. You know, of course, you know, we were at home this time, but had we been on the road, that's the purpose of the taxi squad. It's exactly why those five players are there, just in case something like that happens. And, you know, now you can, you know, pull a guy from your taxi squad and play with a 26-man team, and you're not disadvantaged in any way playing your opponent. So MLB's gone through some great lengths, and I don't know how many times it's been used around baseball, but I know it was our first time and very needed because we just didn't know, you know, how quickly Josh was going to bounce back, and fortunately he did after a day, and we were good to get him back in.
Speaking of bouncing back, what about the performance by Brad Keller yesterday? We all were kind of wondering, is there something wrong with him? Because you're not used to seeing him have rough outings like he did the first two times out this year. I guess, what was your analysis of him, and how nice was it to see him get back on the right track?
Well, that's exactly what we need and expect of Brad. You know, he's the leader of our pitching staff, and, you know, when your leader's, you know, going through some struggles, especially early, you know, you lose a little bit the other aspect of leadership because they're trying to figure out what they need to do, so it's hard to lead others. So, you know, that's exactly the way what we needed out of Brad. He needed it for himself. It's a confidence builder. The team gets a good win. We win a series. Probably exactly what he needs. And, you know, Brad's a sinker ball guy. You know, he relies on that heaviness to his fastball. And I think the more he gets into every fifth day, the better off he's going to be. You know, so we had all these off days and a rain out, you know, to start the season. That's not exactly working to Brad's advantage. It works to some others' advantage because they get an extra day. But I think with Brad, it really helps him to be on every fifth day. And now, you know, yesterday was Wednesday, and he'll pitch on Monday again. You know, there's no off days in between. So I think we're, you know, at a spot in the schedule where Brad will get into a routine and a rhythm that we'll see the typical Brad Keller outings that we're used to.
And speaking of good performances, boy, how good has Danny Duffy looked so far? He was terrific again against the Angels. He is, both of his starts have been really, really good.
Huge. I mean, just huge for us. I mean, it's not only the way he pitched, but the way he competed, you know, the emotion, the way he competed, you know, it was really a good thing to see. And, you know, if we could have Brad and Danny doing what they're capable of doing, it takes a lot of pressure off of other people. Mike Minor, same thing, but, you know, makes those things, when they're going good, it makes Brady Singer's life a lot easier. You know, it just trickles down. So that's what we need. And Danny being the veteran of this staff that he is, to be dominant like he has been in the past and now has been two starts in a row, it's a great sign for us. So really happy Duff's doing what he is.
We're visiting with Royals executive J.J. Piccolo, and J.J., we've spent a lot of time talking about Salvi again this week with the great defensive play he made to throw out a runner at third to win a game. He had a tremendous series offensively, and look, he in the shortened season last year had one of his best offensive seasons. So far this year, he looks like he's even improved upon that. Again, caveat, it's early, but I'm curious for you, how have you seen him evolve as a hitter? And are there any other guys like that you can think of that, you know, maybe at this stage in their careers continue to develop their offensive game the way it appears anyway that Salvi has?
Yeah, I think what we're seeing with Salvi is just the evolution of a hitter and really what thousands and thousands of at-bats will do for guys. You know, I think Salvi spent a lot of time in the offseason refining his swing and the mechanics of his swing, but I think where he's evolved is the approach to his at-bat now is a lot better. You know, you see him right now laying off of pitches that, you know, we have all seen him chase before. He's laying off those pitches more frequently than he has in the past. So if you're the opposing team, that's your game plan to get him to chase sliders, and he's not going to chase sliders. Well, I got to go to my backup plan. Well, backup plan means I got to try to get him to chase somewhere else. Now if he can lay off the fastball up, now Salvi's letting them come to him. And I think that's, you know, I don't know if that's Salvi's mindset, but just watching at bats, that's sort of what I'm seeing. And I think it's experience, it's wisdom, it's intelligence. I mean, and when guys can play 10, 12, 15 years in major leagues, you know, I think part of why they're able to do that, you asked me name specific people, but as people get older, their skills diminish. But if they're going to continue to play long, that means they evolve mentally and psychologically, you know, and they take better at bats that makes up for maybe a little bit of regression in skill or bat speed or whatever it may be. And I think that's how guys last a long time. And that's what Salvi's doing. And it's really wonderful to see. And I do think, the presence of Carlos Santana in that lineup and the at-bats he takes, I think it is a little bit contagious or maybe infectious. You know, it just, I think people see those at-bats and guys that can hit the ball out of the ballpark, pitchers don't want to throw the ball across the plate to them. So if you can wait them out, you're going to get to the pitch you want as long as you can not chase the ones they want you to chase. So that was a long-winded answer to how I think Salvi's evolved, but that's basically it right there.
No, but you bring up a good point, and since they flipped Salvi to the three-hole with Santana behind him, he's really taken off and been red hot, and Santana hit another home run last night. And so that's who I wanted to talk about next, too, with Carlos Santana and what he brings to the team. And obviously that's what you guys were hoping for when you signed him in the offseason. But we've already seen him help save a game with a terrific defensive play. He came up with that, I mean, I don't even know if we really gave it enough credit when he hit that game-tying home run against the White Sox we don't need to tell you, that's been a tough matchup for the Royals last couple of years, and it looked like they were going to lose a heartbreaker, but here's Carlos Santana coming up with a huge home run off their closer, and the Royals end up winning the game. He hits another home run last night. He's walking. He's having a good effect on the other hitters. Those are all these things that we're starting to see come together as to why you guys thought that Carlos Santana was such an important addition, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head. The players that have played in the league a long time, you know, they've just evolved and they understand the game and they let the game come to them and it gets easier. And another way we like to say that the game has slowed down for them. You know, it's slowed down for them that they see the game better. They just are one step ahead. And I think that's what Carlos brings. And when you looked at the middle of our lineup, Witt's the same way. Witt doesn't have 10 years in, but Witt's a pretty smart baseball player. And I think he's hit a point in his career where he's playing like he's got 10 years of experience because he understands what the game is giving and taking to him. But, a guy like Carlos just, adds to that. And that's why I think we like our lineup. I mean, we like the depth of it because of the type of at-bats that they'll give you. And Carlos, is sort of the guy who's done it for a longer period of time than others. And we've had innings this year, and three in particular that I've watched evolve over the inning that are as good of an offensive inning, not only that I've seen us take since 15 or 16, but they're as good of an inning that you can take. You know, you're walking, you're getting two out hits, two strikes, balls put in play. All of a sudden, you're putting up 3, 5, whatever it is. You're putting up those crooked numbers, but you got to have those guys like Carlos in the middle, in the middle for those innings to happen, and that's what he's doing for us.
And to me, I think it's even more exciting that the Royals are off to a fast start, considering there's been no Mondesi. Benintendi, it looks like he's starting to get hot, but he hasn't really gotten hot yet. Santana has a couple of home runs, but he hasn't gotten hot yet. Hunter Dozier hasn't gotten hot yet. Soler hasn't gotten hot yet. All these things, and you're still 6-4. And like you said, you have seen they've had some offensive outbursts, but it's not one of these deals where everyone's hitting over their head and they're not going to sustain this. There's a lot of guys that you look at the back of their baseball card, they're a lot better than this, and the Royals are still winning. And that's got to be that's got to make you feel good because Benintendi's going to get hot. Santana's going to hot. We all know Soler's going to get hot, and the Royals are still winning even though they haven't yet.
Yeah, no, I was thinking about that yesterday because I know Hunter's bat on the hand and he's been in and out of the lineup, and it's good to see him get his first hit. Obviously, he's going to come around, but yeah, we're not necessarily clicking on all cylinders, but that's a pretty good sign when you're not playing your best, but you're still managing to win games. It's a pretty good sign. It is a long year. I know. It's 10 games, so I get it, but it is a long year. But when you go back and look at times during the season where maybe you missed out by a game, you're going to find some stretches in there where you weren't getting it done when things weren't clicking on all cylinders. And right now, we're not necessarily clicking on all cylinders, but we're winning some games, you know, and against our division and against a good team in the Angels. So it is a good start. There's a lot to build off of, and we got a tough stretch. And we got Toronto for four and Tampa for three, and you know, pretty good baseball teams. So we're gonna, you know, but that's the season too. So we just gotta, you know, step up to the next challenge.
Okay, JJ, I wanted to ask you about some news that's happened at the minor league level for now. You've lived in this world where experimental rules that we start to see at the major league level get tried out in the minor leagues, and there's a few new ones that the Atlantic League apparently are going to implement in 2021. Moving the rubber back by 12 inches, they're going to tie the DH to starting pitchers. So once the starter is removed from the game, the team loses their DH. They've got a couple other rules like this that they're putting in place, and I believe the automated strike zone as well. Steven wants robot umps, by the way. He doesn't want just a computer. He wants an actual robot.
Let's get crazy.
The home plate, but in all seriousness, what are your thoughts on these, particularly maybe the rubber moving back 12 inches and the automated strike zone?
I believe, you know, I'm glad the game is trying to evolve and we're trying to create more offense. I mean, that's really what it comes down to, is the fan base wants to see more offense. You know, the 2-1 game that, you know, your more traditional fans love to see, the great pitcher's duel, is not really valued, you know, by our fans. So I think what Major League Baseball is trying to do is how do we entertain our fans and how do we keep people involved in the game? Well, it's offense. But what we've also found out is, you know, the home run, the strikeout, and the walk, which is very, very prevalent in our game right now. That, I forget the percentage, but it's a very high percentage of time of at-bats that end in a home run, a strikeout, or a walk, where there's very little action. So the home run's exciting, but it's very little action. There's not a runner on first, a stolen base, whatever. So I think they're trying to come up with ways that there is more action. You know, we're going through some changes in the minor leagues as well. Less demanding on the body, I would say, than moving the rubber back. But nevertheless, it's going to change the game some. And then they'll evaluate whether or not they think it's worthwhile to talk about making these rule changes in the major leagues. But moving the rubber back 12 inches is a little scary to me, to be honest. I'm glad they're not doing it in the minor leagues with our players, because I think these players have careers to protect, and we would not want them to get hurt experimenting with something that may or may not be part of our game down the road. So I'm glad they're doing it in a different way. But it'll be interesting to see what comes out of it. You know, let's face it, another 12 inches of ball's got to travel. Gravity works on that ball, and it's going to be easier to hit. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes in the league and what the results are. You know, we don't talk about this, but when I read the article yesterday, there's a safety issue as well. I mean, the balls are coming off bats a lot harder than they ever have, and, you know, protection for the pitcher, 12 inches is going to help them, you know, a little bit more. But, you know, I think the intention of the rule is certainly to see what type of offense may come out of a 12-inch increase in distance from rubber to home plate. So it'll be interesting to see. So I guess I'm a little bit concerned with it. At the same time, understand, you know, why the game is trying to increase its appeal to the fans, you know, because without the fans, we don't have a game. So we got to have the fans' involvement, and this is a step to try to move in that direction.
JJ Piccolo is our guest, right? JJ, before we run out of time, I'd like to ask you about a couple of players. Tyler Zuber was called up. He pitched a scoreless inning with a couple of strikeouts yesterday. Could you give us a little scouting report on Tyler Zuber?
Yeah, you know, we saw Zuber make his debut last year, really aggressive, you know, sort of remind you of a Greg Holland the type as far as his mound presence and the way he goes at hitters. You know, last year I don't think he ever really found his stride, and his command wasn't as good as we've seen prior to the 20 season. In the last, you know, really 3 weeks now since he was sent out of Major League camp, he's been outstanding. He's been pounding the strike zone 94, 96. Good little breaking ball, very reliable. and takes the ball. So I mean, he's going to be a good one for a lot of years in the major leagues. He just hit a little stumbling block in spring training, and he's ironed things out. Great attitude, and came to work from the day he was sent out to get back to the big leagues, and it happened pretty quickly for him. So he'll do well for us.
Okay, I'll limit this to one prospect, and so I just wanted to ask you about one guy that I've been taking a look at, and I wanted to ask you about outfield prospect Eric Pena. What can you tell me about Eric Pena?
Yeah, just a wonderful talent. Big, physical, very intelligent. You know, dealt with players from Latin America for a number of years, but his mastery of the English language at such a young age is probably the best I've ever seen. So that helps a lot as well as far as trying to coach him and talk to him about situations. But he's an average runner, but he gets great jumps in the outfield. We've played him a lot in center field. He's got a good-looking left-handed swing with power. He's been really challenged. You know, we've had him in our camp in the fall in Kansas City with the older players. He was a big league camp. So he's seen a lot of pitching that most 18-year-olds don't see, and he's handled it great. You know, he understands, you know, where he is as far as his development. You know, and there are times, you know, there are pitchers that got him. You know, it's just the way it's going to go, you know, with the age difference. But there are times he's put up some pretty good at-bats. He's a great competitor. I just love everything about him. He's just a young guy and needs to go out and get experience that he'll get this year.
See, I read a report at MLB.com that said that he reminded scouts in terms of skill set and potential of a young Carlos Beltran. So I lost my marbles for about 15 minutes. And then I said, well, I better ask JJ about Eric Pena just to get it on the record. I know that, hey, that's throwing it out there, but that's, you know, 18-year-old kid. There's a lot to like there and a high ceiling. And so that's why I wanted to ask you about him. And that's certainly for people that like following prospects, once the minor league season starts, that's a guy that we can keep our eyes on. I know Nate Buchady, whenever I mention Carlos Beltran, he starts to get excited and a big smile on his face. So,
yeah.
Hey, what's wrong with that?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we'll take Beltran any day of the week.
Yeah, that worked out.
Decent.
Yeah, would you be okay with that, JJ?
Absolutely.
That's what it works out to. You know what? I tell you, it's a hell of a lot of fun to watch the Royals get off to a fast start, and I don't care what the date is when they're in first place. It's a happy time to be a Royals fan, and we always appreciate you coming on and talking baseball with us, JJ. Thank you.
No problem, guys. You have a good weekend.
You do the same thing, JJ. That's JJ Piccolo. Now about Eric Pena. I like, you know, you're not sick in the head like I am and spend all this time reading about prospects, which is ridiculous. But I want you to wrap your arms around someone. What about someone that the comp is the skill set of a young Carlos Beltran?
Well, I'll wrap my arms around that person for sure.
He was MLB Pipeline's number 5 international prospect in the 2019-2020 signing period. Remind scouts of a young Carlos Beltran in terms of skill set and potential. They gave Pena almost $3.9 million to sign right after the signing period opened. He's from the Dominican. And see, the Dominican native has had a strange start to his career. He's yet to play a professional season stateside because of the pandemic. But like JJ was talking about, he participated in the Royals Instructional League in both Kansas City and Arizona, and he gained valuable experience against older players. So maybe that can be your guy. It's fun to have the, you know, because Bobby Witt's all of our guys, but then, you know, you dig deeper. Jake, are you sniffing around your Dynasty League now looking for the... Wonder's got Eric Pena. Oh, should I have not said that on the air since?
Nah.
All right, just asking. Can you pick up prospects, or you have to wait until the offseason?
Well, I'm not in a dynasty baseball.
No, you suck.
I'm in two dynasties. I'm in
two. Suck.
That's what dynasty's made for. You
two dynasty
baseball.
Football leagues.
Yeah. No minor leagues in football. It's no fun.
It's a lot of fun.
I want to put you. I want you to oversee a whole entire organization system.
Oh, that sounds stressful.
It is.
I know. Look, I see you. You don't have any hair left.
Yeah. Boy, that was a shot. The slap in my face.
It's either that or all the kids you have.
Yeah. Well,
combo.
That would make sense, except for I was losing my hair before I had any kids.
Yeah, you were.
Right.
It still blows my mind that.
What?
Like, I met Philip when he was probably 6 months old. He was just a little baby.
You've known him his whole life.
Mostly. Richie was just, he was barely up to my hip, like just a little guy. And then, I mean, he
you say the same thing about me.
You still
look at this guy. Up to my hip. Hey, Jake, how are you?
Thanks for the internship.
Hi.
What are you doing down there? What are you doing?
Trying to get to 10 o'clock as best I can.
Hey, we're almost there, buddy.
Are we?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure didn't seem
so
like
I just
it.
Podcasted Buster Olney.
Buster was good.
Working on Gary Barnett next.
Gary Barnett was good.
Right. Yeah, trying to get
JJ
ahead.
JJ was good.
Always.
Trying to get ahead.
We've been awful. Gary.
I thought we were pretty terrific in that KU coaching search segment. You know, where we really yelled at each
that.
Other.
You,
I
mean,
I think you should post that. No,
if you, if by terrific you mean by overly emotional and yelling at people,
that's what people want, right?
And taking a dump on like every coaching candidate that's presented to you, then yeah, it was great.
Well, only the bad ones.
Yeah. Well, they're all bad.
I need to forge this email I just got. I don't know if this person's serious or kidding.
Can we hear it? When you don't know if they're kidding or serious, those are the best ones to read on the air. And then we decide as a family. Yeah, sure. Why not?
Profanity in it?
There's no profanity. I mean, I met this guy and his now fiance, I suppose,
what?
At the Adam Sandler concert that we all enjoyed.
We had a good night that night, didn't we?
That was fun.
That was.
Okay, so read the email word for word.
Word for word.
Right now.
I'll leave the name out.
Now, Charlie Cassidy just tweeted out a new mock draft. So
well, we
you
take
do
a
that,
that,
and then I'll...
Okay. Hi, Jake. I feel like a long time ago you were ordained for a wedding. I recently got engaged and would really love for you to administer the part. I'm not super religious and would rather have someone I respect to do the ceremony. We listen to you guys every morning, and for some reason, you are the only one I want to do it. Let me know what you think. Stay classy.
If you don't, then I'm going to be mad.
Right.
Well, I'm not ordained, but I would go get ordained for this gentleman.
Right. George Brett's a minister of light, and he's going to preside over my remarrying to Susan St. John.
How involved of a process is it to become an ordained minister?
You know who can? Okay, here's the deal. Of the many things that he did behind the walls of the penitentiary, Steve St. John Sr. can marry you if you need it.
Yeah, it's not. I don't think it's a lengthy process. I think it's you pay some dollars and you send in some forms and they make sure you're really who you say you are and that's it.
Also,
are you really who you say you are?
Right.
Today I am.
Also in Leavenworth, my dad
7 years ago
was the baker.
Yeah.
And he... now, because of the practice, makes an award-winning cream puff.
Well, your
scratch,
dad said he stopped a prison riot with cream puffs one time.
Right.
Yes.
That's
true.
Right.
That's true.
Will you marry these people?
If this is a serious email, I would...
Oh, that's a serious email.
You think so? Like, well, why would it not be serious?
You
present yourself
for
as
some
a
reason,
spiritual
you're the
guru
only
now.
I want to do it. And
because this is... But you've
you
changed your life.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. This guy goes up a mountain for a month, doesn't watch a Super Bowl, and cuts the rest of the world off because he says he wants to help people, right?
He comes back down
from the mountain, and then you say, hey, you help people on Instagram. I don't help people. That's not my problem. I don't do that. That's what you're holding. You're writing a book. You're trying to help people. And then just because Nate said you should help people, I don't help. That's up to them.
I help
I don't
myself.
Care. I do what I want.
I try to be an example.
And so then,
if it helps you,
he's presenting himself, and then this guy is inspired by you, wants you to marry him
I'll
and his lover,
his
and you're like, why is this
engaged?
Serious?
I just thought,
like, if
make sure
this is what you're trying
me.
To be, then you need to lean into it and show us who you are. Help people on Instagram, even though it's an overload of content.
Well, I think the first
there's
name,
a lot of content.
There's a lot of content to sift through.
Name,
I don't know. I can't keep up with
the
it.
The first name's kind
I try.
Of throwing me off, though.
What?
Because he shares the same name with that guy.
Oh, so, his name's Nate?
Yeah.
You're not jacking with him, are you?
You're not. This isn't some email that, like, you're
if
not.
If I were going to email you from a burner account, I wouldn't use my same name.
And see,
you,
but that would be kind of funny.
But
though,
if
right?
but yeah. if he was at Sandler,
he'll never get this.
If he was at the Sandler concert, that means he has a similar sense of humor to us, and so he would, you know, we get along with him.
Yeah.
And so I feel like, you know, don't resist this. This is who you present yourself. When we talked about you helping people, I was, oh,
yeah,
I don't care about people. No, this is I'm trying to. Who's always liking your stuff and commenting on Instagram? I'm trying, right?
Are you?
Did we gave away tickets to that concert?
Probably.
I'm going back because this is like on an email chain, so it's not you.
Do I not comment on your Instagram posts? Sometimes smart ass, but so what?
His fiance came on the show and sang for the tickets.
There you go.
I'd be happy to do that.
This is supposed to happen.
Yeah.
It's meant to be.
Which colored sunglasses do you wear as the ordained minister for a
dark I would, no, light sunglasses?
The,
can't see.
The, I would say the indigo probably for the crown chakra.
Well.
There you go.
Yeah. Indigo to break now because I got a guest coming up. How about that? Back after this on WHP.